The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Katie Benner, a columnist with Bloomberg View. Human rights observers applauded last week when Apple announced an ambitious effort to stamp out bonded servitude, a practice whereby recruitment agencies charge workers onerous fees for the privilege of making Apple products. The move generated discussion and debate among Asian manufacturers. They make razor-thin margins when they supply Apple with things like chips and cameras. Apple drives hard bargains, and suppliers have long felt forced to use the cheapest subcontractors, not necessarily the best, for everything from parts to labor. If Apple wants better labor practices up and down its supply chain, will it have to renegotiate deals with suppliers? Will it give them financial breathing room to be more fair-minded about abusive labor practices? The company, which reaps about 93% of all the smartphone industry's profits, does have the money to think differently about how it motivates other manufacturers. And if Apple does so, will investors punish the company for spending real money on a human rights push? Apple should be praised for addressing labor issues, but if it wants more substantive and long-lasting changes, it will have to rethink the competing needs of Wall Street, its customers, and its suppliers, too. I'm Katie Benner, a columnist with Bloomberg View. For more opinion, go to BloombergView.com.
This has been Bloomberg View. You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Bonnie Quinn on Bloomberg Radio.
The Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by National Realty, the experts in safe, high-return residential real estate. Visit them at www.nria.net for National Realty. Jeff Gundlach sees a lousy future for automakers. Now, why should you care what Jeff Gundlach thinks about car makers? Well, he is the billionaire co-founder of Double Line Capital, and he has some very strong views on car sharing programs like Uber Technologies, although I don't think of them so much as car sharing. I just think of them as a different way to make taxi services. Mary Childs joins us. She covers the bond market. Jeff is one of the bond kings, to talk to us about what Jeff Gundlach said and why he said it. Mary, terrific story today out on Bloomberg.com, out on the terminal. What's up with Jeff Gundlach and Uber?
Well, so he was saying that he went to a conference in Florida in, I think, November, where he was speaking, and the organizers of the conference arranged for him to have a private driver. A car showed up, a very nice BMW. He slid right in. He got to do his emails while he was sitting in the car. He's just riding along. He's like, hey, you know, this is kind of nice. And so then he started having a driver. He hired his own driver for, you know, living in L.A., commuting to work. He says that he saves an hour a day. It's almost like adding an entire day of productivity to your week, because he can, instead of driving, he can sit there and, you know, go through junky emails, delete things, respond to things. And he loves it. He says, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. It's so great.
So basically his point is that people will no longer buy cars because they prefer – it seems to me that maybe he should be saying what he loves is people are developing driverless cars. Somebody's going to have to make cars. We're not going to just get driven to work on the back of a bicycle.
Right. But his point is that there's going to be such a decrease in use of cars because, you know, if I'm taking Uber to work instead of owning a vehicle, which is parked 23 hours a day, as Jeffrey says, you know, the average car life, I think it actually is like a stat that floats around. 96% of a car's life is spent parked. And as Jeffrey says, that's wildly inefficient. So you're looking at this paradigm where you have cars that just sit there, and you know, I don't own a car. I don't need a car. If I live in L.A., I would need a car.
You would definitely need a car in L.A. In most of the country, you would need a car.
Exactly.
This area is so unusual.
This area is unusual. There are a couple other places where you can you know, use public transit instead. But what he's saying is that, you know, this is going to increase mobility so much because if you can, you know, Uber and taxis are about comparable. There's Uber in cities that are not really that taxi friendly. Like, I'm from Richmond. You can get Uber in Richmond a lot easier than you can find a taxi. And from that, people are just going to realize that they're using their cars less. They're going to subscribe increasingly to something like Car2Go or Zipcar or something like that instead, or carpool. Now, Uber and Lyft are both doing these kind of carpool services as well.
Of course, I mean, but all the demand is at one time. That's one reason why you kind of wonder. There's a lot of demand at a certain time of the day. You can't spread that across the day. Everybody has to be at work in the morning for
right.
the most part, and everybody leaves at the end of the day.
Right. So he definitely, I mean, that's kind of the pushback to the story that I've gotten so far, is that people are like, oh, you know, so a billionaire who has a personal driver is saying, hey, this is great. Everybody should have a personal driver. Yes, that'd be lovely. However, I can't really afford that because that doesn't give me a cost-benefit analysis that I'm comfortable with. So for the average bear, maybe they're going to stay, you know, they're going to keep their car. But on the aggregate, his point is that car demand is going to fall over the long term, which I think is pretty viable. I mean, if you think about the way that Manhattan is organized, these parking spaces that are just constantly taken up, that pricing paradigm is ridiculous, that you're paying, that, you know, it's $0 to park on the street often. So it's, you know, it is a weird and inefficient structure.
I got a note. I love this when our listeners send us notes. A client left my office last night using Uber. In 5 minutes, he was gone. He was waiting for an original friend to pick him up who was late. Got Uber in 5 minutes. It comes from Jason, who's an office manager.
That's funny. And Eric Schatzker from TV actually said the same thing last April, I think, when we were in L.A. He was like, you know what? I used to rent a car every time I came to L.A., and now I just Uber. It's cheaper.
Well, I'm still a big taxi user. I don't know why. It's kind of my stubborn old-fashionedness or something.
I'm the same
But
way.
Just quickly, Jeff Gundlach, Double Line, he doesn't invest in automakers. Isn't he still more of a bond investor?
He is a bond investor, and I think their core bond fund does have some Ford credit in it. So, you know, it is kind of a longer-term trade that he's thinking about here.
I love it, though, because these trends are huge. So fun to see how they play out. Mary Childs, thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to tweet your story out here in just a second, and you can find it on the newly redesigned Bloomberg.com. So from cars, hey, that leads us right to gasoline and oil. Crude prices down today. Is the rally over? That's coming up next. Bloomberg Advantage, Bloomberg Radio.